Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud is brought to you by Academy for Educators, online professional development for teachers and leaders, online courses, modules, and micro-credential programs for teachers to enhance their skill sets. Now featuring the instructional coaching micro-credential, including 5 online modules framed around the work of Steve Barkley. Learn, grow, inspire. AcademyForEducators.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in.
Promoting coachability. How coachable are you? As a teacher, instructional coach, or administrator, how do you model your openness to being coached? How do you model requesting feedback? And how do you model that the feedback you receive causes you to make changes? Powerful teachers impact their students when they request feedback from the students on how the teacher is doing something, how they're organizing learning, how they're structuring the environment of the classroom. When a teacher requests that feedback from the student and then models that the teacher is making changes to increase his or her effectiveness based on the information that they received from the students, that has a tremendous trust-building component with the students. And equally important, it models for the student the concept of coachability. I have frequently called this modeling of coachability modeling the model. In other words, leaders should continually be engaged in modeling those behaviors that they're hoping the members of the organization would carry out. In other words, if teachers watch an administrator, if students watch their teacher, are they seeing in those modeled behaviors the behaviors that the leaders are looking for with members from the organization? As an example, when I'm training mentors who will be working with new teachers, I recommend strongly that one of the first things a mentor does is to ask the new teacher to come into the mentor's classroom, observe, collect data, and give the feedback to the mentor. In other words, the first thing for the mentor to model is how does someone use a coach? You see, most beginning teachers have been supervised, they've been evaluated, but they probably haven't experienced being mentored or coached. And so when the mentor is able to model for the beginning teacher, here's how you use a mentor. Here's how you use a coach. So the mentor goes to the beginning teacher and asks the beginning teacher to come to their classroom, observe something specific, perhaps the way the mentor responds to student questions, or perhaps collecting the kinds of student conversations that are occurring in cooperative teams. And then in a post-conference setting, the mentee now gives that feedback to the mentor, and the mentor models that openness to receiving the feedback, the way to think about and consider the feedback, the way to perhaps question in order to get greater detail from the mentee's observation. These are all behaviors that you would be looking for the mentee to now exhibit when the mentor first goes into the mentee's classrooms. So I'm real big on pushing that model out there. Before the mentor goes in to be observing in the mentee's classroom, you create that opportunity for the mentee to observe in the mentor's classroom. A high coachability is certainly a characteristic we would want to develop among our students. If students are approaching learning with a growth mindset, then they would be more interested in their teacher's feedback, being able to create a continuous improvement or growth within the student, rather than looking for the teacher's feedback as being a evaluation that states the goal has been met. I think it's interesting that most students would expect their music teacher to continually improve their performance based on the feedback they received. They would expect their athletic coach to cause continuous improvement by the feedback they received. Yet I believe we've created a structure in many of our classrooms where students are more anxious for their teacher's feedback to say the goal has been met, rather than the teacher's feedback providing coaching information that would lead to improvement. I recall a great example of a language arts teacher I worked with at the high school level. And she had her students do a rather lengthy piece of writing, probably around October, November in the school year. And sometime later, the students got the writing back from her with comments on things that were strong and ways that it could be improved. And over some time frame, the students redid the piece, worked on those improvements, and received it back. Again, no grade, comments on what was strong and how they could improve it. And this activity went back and forth probably 4 or 5 times. And sometime late in the school year, the student received their writing back with a grade. And if the grade was an A, which it was for many of the students by that time, the teacher not only put on the grade of A, but she identified for them when they had reached an A level. And many of the students got the feedback that they had reached an A level back in January or February and had now improved the piece 2 or 3 times after having received an A. And many of the students went to the teacher and protest. And when they protested, she smiled and said, "Thank you. That's exactly the feedback I need. I needed you to know that that's exactly why I conducted this activity, because I wanted you not to be stopped by any teacher who gave you a grade of A, knowing that you probably got the A prior to having reached the best that you can do. And that ongoing growth was, to this teacher, a much more important message for the students to gain than was receiving their grade of A." In many ways, the same problem of evaluation versus coaching exists in our schools for teachers. A study released out of Brown University titled "The Effect of teacher coaching on instruction and achievement, explored the problem we have in scaling up coaching within our schools. And I think that it's connected to this concept of coachability. Let me quote from the article. No matter the expertise or enthusiasm of a coach, coaching is unlikely to impact instructional practice if teachers themselves are not invested in or are uncomfortable with the coaching process. Coaching requires teachers to be willing to open themselves to critique and recognize personal weaknesses. This openness on the part of teachers is facilitated both by the school culture committed to continuous improvement and by strong relational trust among administrators and staff members. Teachers that perceive the observation and feedback cycles associated with teacher coaching as a process intended to document shortcomings towards efforts to exit teachers may be unwilling to acknowledge a coach's critiques or experiment with new behaviors for fear that it may be used against them. This suggests that building environments where providing and receiving constructive feedback is a regular part of teachers' professional work may be a key condition for success of upscale efforts. It is clear to me that trust is critical to having this culture that promotes coachability. But I find the trust issue almost a chicken and egg kind of argument. I have people who say to me, well, we can't have peer coaching in our school because we don't have that trusting environment. And my sense is, until you start peer coaching, you aren't going to get that trusting environment. In other words, I'm pretty sure that the trust is built by people engaging and experiencing in a that coaching setting, recognizing the payoffs that come from any risk that they take. I've had these thoughts about how we could go about creating that coaching culture, or as I would guess I'd like to describe it as the coachability within educators. Imagine that we started right at the beginning in teacher education classes at the university. Could you imagine a setting where, as students enroll in an education course, where they're going to begin the initial practice and skill development of some teaching skills, that all of that was carried out in a coaching environment where students were frequently experiencing receiving coaching from their classmates as they look to develop their skill set. And then imagine that in an undergraduate class, students had professors coming into their classrooms, observing and coaching the professors who were teaching the undergraduate class, and perhaps doing that live in front of the students, so that in these earliest stages of becoming an educator, people had the chance to see the impact of coaching. And then student teaching. Wouldn't it make sense that student teachers went out in groups of two or three and established a coaching relationship among each other as they are working in a given school? And then that as a student teacher, they experienced their cooperating teacher receiving coaching feedback from an instructional coach in the building or from peers as a colleague. And then within the school, how do we communicate these models of openness and coachability?
how frequently are teachers being able to observe their administrator, if not being coached publicly, at least talking about how they are changing practice based on what they're learning from their coaching experiences? When does a principal have that opportunity to know about the coaching that the superintendent is currently seeking, and how a superintendent in a school district is making changes based upon the learning that's coming from the coaching that he or she is receiving? Being highly coachable means being a great listener. It means listening to information, feedback, data from anyone, willing to learn from anyone, willing to consider all advice, even advice that we might eventually discard for its possibilities. Early in my presenting and consulting career, I learned the joy and sometimes the pain of reading evaluations of my work several times a week. When I'd read through a stack of 100 participants' comments, there were maybe 75% excellent and 25% good and 5 terrible. And as I'd begin to read those, I would wonder what problem the 5% of the people had that prevented them from getting the value out of the work that I had done. As my confidence grew in my own abilities, I learned that those negative evaluations frequently contained some seed of an opportunity for my improvement. The negative comments might explain what caused some of the participants who rated the session as good instead of excellent, more than I could gain from reading the comments from people who had rated the work as good. High coachability leads to our opportunity for continuous growth. As you consider how coachable you are and the ways that you want to model your coachability, consider these comments from Timothy Clark. Quote, coachability is not just teachability. It's not just a willingness to learn. It's a willingness to unlearn and change. Coachability is a moral capacity that allows a person to accept feedback, acknowledge faults, limitations, and deficiencies, and to act on that new information. Have a coachable day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.